There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
There are challenging days ahead, but your future is in your hands.
There is Vice President Mike Pence as we get started on Midday Mobile this Wednesday. A couple hours of live local talk. Glad you're along. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Hey, y'all. My name is Sean, and a lot to do on today's show. By the way, too, I saw the note here. No big surprise. Walmart and Procter & Gamble, the two best performing stocks out there. Hey, Dalton, can we check if how many of those Loeffler bought? How many shares did Loeffler buy other than buying the makers after having the committee meeting where they got to information about the coronavirus before everybody else, and that there was some stock selling? You also talked about this morning there were stock purchases that bought stocking companies that made the masks, the N95 mask. Just see if any kind of purchase of Walmart or Procter & Gamble, because those are the two. I just would like to know, you know, in my trading life, if I'm looking at equities, if I could just have a ticker showing me what members of the Senate are buying after coming out of, getting briefed on the issues facing the world, if I could just see what they did with their stocks at that point, I think things would be looking great out there. All right, 1208 FM Talk 106.5 on today's show. We'll talk a couple different things on the way. Number one, we're going to go from the end of the show backwards, but I want to let you know, if you're with me at 1:30, if you're like so many folks that are working from home right now and you're quarantining yourself, you're socially distancing yourself, but you're telecommuting, you know it's a distraction fest right at your house. You're trying to work, but if you're like me, got children there, you've got other things going on. I got Dr. Jim Golke coming on with us. He's an expert in instructional design and learning strategy, and he's got some tips for us if we're going to work from home, how to like set up the home, maybe some rules and some ideas here to try to get some efficiency out of working at home. Right, so you can get some more done and try to minimize those distractions. Also, what is it? What are we looking at for the city of Mobile when it comes to the lack of events? And what does this mean for revenue going forward? We're going to talk to Emily Gonzalez from Visit Mobile about this coming up in just about half hour. But I do want to start off the show with a friend of mine, and he was on with our buddy Cam Marston on yesterday's What's Working Special Edition, and he was talking with Cam. Came a couple things in the discussion. I was sitting here writing notes down feverishly, and I said, man, I got to get Matt on the show to talk more about this. So he was gracious enough to say yes, and if y'all didn't catch him yesterday, it's former judge, attorney, and all-around good dude, Matt Green, joining us right now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Appreciate you having me on again.
Man, it's a pleasure. Because I want to get to the executive order that's gone out for the city of Mobile and a discussion of those stores that are still open, limiting capacity to 40% of, I guess, what the fire marshal says. But before we get to that, I want to kind of go back to the conversation you and Cam had yesterday. And I think business owners and all of us out there should be interested in the law around coronavirus. And maybe many people will be scratching their head and say, what law, or maybe I should say the liability around coronavirus. What are the questions out there, and what answers do we know right now about somebody, they catch coronavirus at work or they catch it at a store? Is there any liability there?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's two in theories of liability. One would be against a potential co-employee or third-party customer that transmitted it or gave it to you, or two, whether you would have a claim under your workers' comp type scenario against your employer. I just think both of those, I mean, they're very difficult now to prove in terms of when you, how you contracted it, especially with this 14 days. They're saying you may be up to 14 days before you show any signs or symptoms. I know there's a lot of uncertainty in the workplace, but, you know, it could be highly speculative. And secondly, you know, that's not gone unnoticed. The questions that you're asking has not gone unnoticed by the legislature. And I mentioned yesterday Senator Arthur Orr, that's a Republican out of Decatur in the state legislature, has a bill that he, I think, is planning to propose, and he's got it drafted, I believe, basically shielding employers for liability for what you just talked about. It's a COVID-19 immunity bill, basically what it is. And it said, you want me to read just to you a brief excerpt of it?
Yes, yes.
It says, basically, a business entity that is properly licensed to conduct business in this state is not liable for any injury or damages, including death, suffered by an individual resulting from the individual's actual or alleged contraction of the coronavirus from another patron, an employee, or any other individual while on the premises of the business entity. Well, it's not the law now. What about those persons or potential victims up until now that have contracted it? Well, he's got language in the proposed bill that makes the bill retroactive to March the 1st of 2020. Now, that's not law, but that's at least one of the proposals that I think the legislature will be taking up in the next session.
Well, Matt, help me understand something, because let's pick out flu, right? A or B strain flu can be deadly in some cases out there. We talk about the flu deaths. Is there any precedent set where people were suing businesses or employers because they got the flu?
There may be. I'm not aware of any. And, you know, with the modern advent of workers' compensation laws, there's some instances where their occupational diseases or diseases contracted because of your employment may be compensable. But, you know, unless you're really a first responder or work in the healthcare industry, it'd be very difficult for an employee, I would think, to establish your contraction of the disease was related to your employment. And that's just very difficult, I think.
Yeah, so that's why, I mean, I wonder why you and Senator Orr moving this bill, I guess, but is that something that would be challenged, I guess? When I hear that they're going to move something, and Lord knows there's not much moving in Montgomery right now, but they're moving to work legislation here, that makes me think they see some impending crisis from it, right?
I probably say. They're probably getting a lot of calls of concerns of business owners. What happens if we have claims of customers or, you know, a business owner who has an employee who unknowingly has contracted the coronavirus and their patrons are exposed to it? I think those are the kind of situations that the immunity he's trying to afford these businesses. And perhaps he's considering the fact that businesses right now are on the tipping point. Can they sustain such a body blow just to the complete shutdown? Can they sustain any further damage or injury without some type of protection? And it's a good question. And whether they can, can they apply, make this retroactive? That's another issue or concern as well. But I think that's kind of like what you're saying. There's probably some concern with the uncertainty of the current state of affairs.
Yeah, I wonder if looking, and I don't know that, and we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but looking at like the cruise industry and the norovirus, right? Is there liability? I mean, they're always saying, oh, if people get sick, they're going to give them vouchers for their trip or this or that. I'm just looking at the cruise industry in general.
Sure.
But are they doing that to avoid some real liability? Is there an expectation that you get on the cruise ship and you don't get sick, right? I mean, is it a reasonable person would expect that?
Yeah, and it also depends on the conduct of the party. For instance, you know, there should be an employer maybe should be treated differently if they had knowing or actual knowledge of an employee that has the virus right. and continues to require that employee to report to work, versus, you know, an employer that unknowingly has an employee that's contracted the virus and, you know, doesn't test positive for weeks later.
Now, as we look through this, you and I are going to bounce a couple things back and forth here, and that is people will often say, well, right now, this law or this other thing, this is important because we're in a crisis. At the same time, there's those of us and that look at this and say, okay, we're in a crisis, we have to navigate this, but let's not do this at the full cost of civil liberties, right? I mean, is there a measured approach? I guess that's the fairest question. Is there a measured approach to this, Matt?
Well, I mean, if you believe in the Constitution and civil liberties, some rights are beyond debate. I agree with you. But you're, you know, it's kind of like, you know, pestilence like times of war, the laws are silent. You know, these temporary emergency orders keep getting extended. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and I think they should. You know, the problem is if they came out and gave themselves enough to work with here, then we would question it as well, right? So it's going to constantly have to be updated going forward. Can you hold on during the break? And I got a couple other questions here. We're talking to Matt Green, attorney, former judge, and I want to talk about his podcast too, Channeling Atticus Podcast. I want you to check that out too, since you're going to have some time. I'm just saying, you might have some time at home here over the next couple of days or couple of weeks, and I might get started with a new habit and checking out that podcast. We'll do that when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And good to talk to my buddy Matt Green, a former judge, an attorney, host of the Channeling Atticus podcast. Matt, give somebody a quick slice of what that's about. And I know you're full of different subjects, but what's the overall umbrella?
It's a Know Your Legal Rights podcast where we talk about different legal issues that people may face in their everyday life, whether it be criminal issues or questions regarding criminal law, or, you know, I do a lot of personal injury. We talk about personal injury cases, of victims of that sort of thing. We also talk about qualified immunity and civil rights. And we have a wide variety of things we're talking about, but we certainly hadn't had a lack of things to talk about these last 3 weeks, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. And that's available wherever finer podcasts are downloaded.
Yeah, there's a Channeling Atticus Facebook page, and we, Johnny Gwynn and I, do it from his Deep Fried Studios downtown. It's and there are a bunch of other good podcasts that Johnny and Deep Fried do.
Don't build him up. His head's going to be so big he won't be able to get it through the front door. But yeah, it's good stuff. I recommend that and a lot more for people to check out. But I want to talk about something that was fairly breaking news. We were talking about this morning, it's a new thing where Mayor Stimson has come out with an executive order, and if I'm saying this incorrectly, help correct me. But executive order that would command the remaining stores that are open to not have more than 40% of the store's capacity in there at one time. Is that close to it?
Yeah, it doesn't apply to employees, just applies to patrons and customers. And I kept waiting for the order. You know, he mentioned it yesterday, and mm-hmm. I kept waiting for it. But apparently, I think he had to have city council approval because in the order it says it was the council authorized the mayor to issue orders as appropriate to protect life and property. And there's three components to it. There's a social distancing component. There's a cleaning and sanitation component to it. Limit your time in store, especially for vulnerable populations. It says exclusive hours for those in high-risk populations, including seniors, where stores will limit their capacity to 40% of fire capacity at any time. And it says larger grocery stores and retailers, those with greater than 25,000 square feet, are encouraged to offer pickup and delivery options. And then, you know, they talk about the 6-foot social distancing, clearly marked 6 feet spacing in lines and other high traffic areas, and consider ways to encourage spacing if there are lines outside. Consider posting signage or using ropes to direct customers and to limit bottlenecks encourage flow in the high-density areas of the stores, designate employees to monitor social distancing and assist customers, maximize space between customers and employees at checkout. And it's from the feel of it, reading it, and then listening to the mayor's press conference, he leaves a large degree of autonomy to self-governance among the grocery or retailers, which, you know, I think is good. There doesn't seem to be any heavy-handedness like we see other mayors and other government entities taking. And to his credit, it sounds like, too, that he actually consulted with the people that would be affected by this.
Let me play the other side of the bench here and say, why do it in the first place then? I mean, if there's no real enforcement, it's kind of self-enforcement, right? It sounds like it's not heavy-handed.
Right.
I mean,
where's the incentive to do it?
Yeah, it's just a directive, kind of, but it's coming in the form of an executive order, right?
That's correct. I mean, it's still subject to fines and punitive measures and potential criminal considerations if it comes to that. They're trying to get them to do it, but voluntarily. I think that's the first step. But I think he's left open the option. He said that in his press conference yesterday. He said they'll have teams monitoring.
Okay.
And he says if that seems to be inadequate, then they may reduce it or expand it from 40% to 30% occupancy to make it more stringent. I keep saying, you know, the next, in 2 weeks from now is when we're supposed to be at our peak.
Right.
That's what I keep hearing. Is that kind of what you're hearing?
That's exactly what I'm hearing, Matt. But, you know, I know this might be picking at it, but, okay, let's say that they figure out that we have a clicker here and, you know, Matt and Sean's food emporium is capacity is 100, so we're going to be at 40 under this. Okay. So we use the clicker. Person comes out, then another person can come in. No more than 40 people, customers in the store at any time. Are we supposed to be on the aisles making sure that somebody doesn't pass somebody closer than 6 feet to come get a box of Frosted Flakes? You know, I mean, I'm making fun a little bit, but I'm asking questions. If you're going to enforce a rule, who's responsible? Or I guess the store is responsible for policing their aisles? Or
I think that's at this phase of what's going on. I think that's exactly right. I think they're going to see how.
So what do you do with the person who doesn't? I mean, you as the store owner doing the right thing, say, "Hey, dude, back up. Y'all need to be 6 feet apart." And that person says, "To heck with you. You know, I'm getting those Frosted Flakes." I mean,
right.
I just worry about
the store owner always has the right to eject members of the public for irrespective of violation of law,
right?
As long as it's not based on an improper motive. But this is certainly one that's well within the power of a retailer.
But that's just counterproductive to, you know, everything else going on. If you have to stop down for a fool, right, now we're taking away time. All right, so the way you understand
this, they're looking at closing down, like, delis, too. That was another thing. I made me, you know, the self-serve type, you know, these delis, you know, Publix, where they have the delicious sandwich meats. You know, you always go up there and you meet the friendly guy or woman up there, because they're being closed. So.
No hot bar. That's not good.
No hot bar. That's right.
That's when Dad cooks. Dad goes to the hot bar at Rouse's and cooks. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I cook.
Me too.
All right, and we just have about 2 minutes here, but I do want to get your take on the story that I was talking about this morning, and you brought up to me too that Alabama, Massachusetts are handing over the addresses of people with coronavirus to police. Now, somebody told me on the text line this morning it would be kept in a database to go to first responders, so they would know going to a home that person's quarantined with coronavirus. But what do you think about the privacy? Is there a privacy violation here?
Well, that's part of the concern too. But yeah, I mean, how long is this going to last? I mean, why is Alabama? Why are there only two states?
Yeah,
that are
us
doing it?
And Massachusetts. Like, I mean, we don't usually line up on a lot.
they say that Alabama began providing the. It's just, you know, we're talking about a story that ran in Vice News today or yesterday. And it says Alabama and Massachusetts are handling the addresses of people with coronavirus over to they're handing over to the police. And Alabama's actually been doing it for more than a week. And I guess, you know, what else if you know, you do that, and then if things get turned south and then, you know, things get worse, You know, they are the police going to show up now without a warrant and ask the person to be removed and everybody in the house? You know, this may seem far-fetched now, but let's not forget the lessons of Katrina.
Yeah. I just wonder if it, yeah, and, you know, will this, I would hope, but it's not mapped somewhere, right? That it could be leaked. Here's the map of all the cases.
It's certainly ripe for abuse.
So, Alabama, Massachusetts, y'all, soak that one in. The two states that are doing this. It's not something we hear every day. All right, Matt, remind folks, too, if they want to check out the podcast, the name of the podcast?
It's called Channeling Atticus. And it's on Facebook, Libsyn, and then I think we're on the Deep Fried Studios website and Facebook page, too. All different types of things we talk about. We actually had a video podcast day before yesterday where we talked about a lot of things going on with the coronavirus and civil liberties and that sort of thing. So check it out.
About 20 seconds left here, but do you feel that we come out of this pandemic or the fight against coronavirus with some permanent limitations, decreases in civil liberties, or no change?
No, I think these will be some permanent scars on our civil institutions, and we know it's going to be that way with respect to businesses. How much longer can they hold on? There is a significant, I think, public health concern with millions of Americans being out of work, unemployed, no health insurance. I think that's a public health crisis that we need to be talking a little bit more about.
Well said. We'll have to get you back on to do exactly that. Matt, thank you. 12:30, coming right back. We'll